Ladies and gentlemen, we'll call this public hearing to order. We are here tonight to hear public comments on Ordinance 17-2014, additional appropriation from Edit to pay SME. Also, Resolution 5-2014, additional appropriation from Edit to complete the local funds, Indiana Housing and Community Development Block Grant, and also Resolution 6-2014, additional appropriation from Edit to complete the local funds for the HUD Block Grant Disaster Recovery Grant through OCRA Levy Systems Project. So, if you have any comments about any of these three items before the council, please come up and state your name and address and give us your comments. Anyone who wishes to speak for or against Ordinance 17-2014, Resolution 5-2014, or Resolution 6-2014? Seeing no one indicating that they seek to be recognized, I will call this public hearing adjourned.
Call to order council meeting for June 23rd. If everyone would stand for the pledge. We have roll call.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
President Chapman.
Here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
Ms. Morris.
Here.
Ms. Rose. Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Here.
Mr. Mayor.
Here. And I want to say welcome to Councilman Clark, the new member, Councilman Clark. And glad to see you here.
On behalf of the council, we also welcome you and know that you'll do a fine job for your district and the city.
Move on to adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I would make a motion that we add to the agenda a financial report by Ben Roger, who is here, and I would suggest that that be item B under miscellaneous.
Second.
And that addition, I would move that the agenda be adopted as a
motion by President. We're making a second amended. Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring to adopt the agenda as amended.
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Morris? Ms. Morris? I'm sorry. Thinking of your father-in-law. Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, and move on to approval of the minutes of the June 9th meeting.
Move that the minutes be approved.
Okay. Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose to approve the June 9th minutes.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark? Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
That was passed by a vote of 7-0. Move on to petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
Mr. Mayor, I think we should acknowledge a successful salute to World War I exhibition out at the Indiana Military Museum and salute all the volunteers that developed that new trench. A lot of hard work went into that, mm-hmm. and the reenactors. And of course, Judge Osborne always does a great job with that. So I think that's a real addition to the community. Also, our neighbor here at City Hall, Father John Shipp, is celebrating the 50th anniversary of his ordination. And there'll be a reception June 29 across the street at the Perry Center from 2 to 4, and he'll have a celebration mass at 1 p.m. So we certainly wish him well and congratulate him on the 50th anniversary of his ordination.
Okay. Anything else? Not, we'll move on to committee reports.
The Public Health and Safety Committee met at 3 p.m. Thursday. We discussed fireworks ordinance. It'll be ordinance number 20-2014. That'll be presented at our next meeting. This basically will limit the usage of fireworks to the approximately 2 weeks around the 4th of July and New Year's Eve. Also, we discussed and recommended to the council the raising of parking fines from the now 50-year-old $3 parking fine to a $25 parking fine for a regular parking offense and a $50 fine for a handicap parking offense. We did also touch on the trash issue, just kind of to get a snapshot of where we're at with how many citizens have switched to Republic and how many are still using the city trash, just to kind of get an idea of where we're at right at this moment. So that's about it for the Public Health and Safety Committee.
Thank you, Councilman Sebring.
Can I suggest that since we do have a draft that's been distributed to the council of the proposal from the committee on regulating fireworks, that this be submitted for review by our city attorney and I don't know, any other members of the administration that want to review it, police chief, so forth, so that we can have this come back to us and ready to be debated at our next meeting. And also on the parking, I don't know if that you have a draft on that. Is that?
I do not have a draft on that yet.
But it'd be my suggestion, and this may be part of your committee's proposal, but that the fine should have some sort of graduation to it. In other words, if you have a $25 first offense, but the second offense be a little higher, just for consideration. I know I have helped my daughter pay several parking tickets at Bloomington and Denver, where she lives now, and I can tell you that we would probably be the only city that I'm aware of that doesn't have a graduated step, so that if you have a repeat offender, that they get the message. So that's just a suggestion, but
We can debate that on the in the council.
Okay.
In intergovernmental and community cooperation, we have a meeting right after this, 5 minutes right after our meeting. Have a little break, and then we'll go into that to discuss ads on public vehicles and public spaces and what route we're looking at and what we would like to do. So it's kind of been a work in progress until we've gotten back to full strength. I do have a question for the public safety committee. I had a couple calls this week dealing with that crosswalk right in front of Gregg Park, and as we get closer to the time with Rainbow Beach, this might be something that we need to look at. Concerns that people, you know, that hey, that they almost got hit, or they felt that they were going to get hit, because that crosswalk kind of comes up on you if you're not really paying attention. And I went through that. That's a route that I drive every day. If you're not really paying attention, it does kind of pop up on you. And obviously, with the pool getting to its final stage, there's going to be more people that will be using that area. I didn't know if that's something that we're probably going to need to look at, maybe even anchor, you know how like VU does, like anchor a thing or a lighted stop sign. A lighted crosswalk sign, but that might be something that we need to look into, or I would encourage us to look into it.
We just did the new signage out there and remarked the crosswalk. Actually, the ADA compliant curbing is supposed to be done. It should have been done by now, but it's put on hold, I guess. The director of the unit's busy, so but we can look at.
I think there's a couple quick and easy fixes we can make that just draw attention to that area. Another question for you, Mr. Mayor. Road repaving. When are we? I know that we discussed those were done. Those would be starting soon. Do you know? Yeah. Obviously, with rain and stuff like that we've had to deal with, that kind of throws everything out of whack.
Right. Actually, city engineer has a meeting with the contractor that's doing it. What they have to do first is come and do our ADA curb ramps first. And hopefully you'll see that get started in the next week or two.
Okay.
And they'll get those completed before they actually do them.
All right. Just checking on those things. Thank you very much.
Any other committee chair reports? If not, report of any city officers. Seeing none, we'll move on to old business. First is Ordinance 11, 2014 Economic Development Plan of RDC.
Mr. Mayor, Ordinance 11, 2014 has been tabled since April 14th as the council awaited to be at full strength. And, of course, we are at full strength now. However, it would be my recommendation that we continue to keep this tabled until our next meeting at least as a courtesy, really, to the new members to give them more time for consideration. That would be my recommendation. However, I think it would be in order to have any discussion that council members would wish to have, as well as have some members of the Redevelopment Commission here, if they had a comment, or any other people that have a comment. So, in other words, I'm saying I think a discussion would be in order, but I think perhaps there's some reason why it would serve the council and the public well to keep this tabled for at least two more, or at least until our next meeting, not two more.
Mr. Dale.
Good evening. Brad Dale, President, Vincennes Redevelopment Commission, City Council appointed. Our last meeting, June 19th, get you back on the TIF, the Willow Street corridor. Our committee had proposed not to accept the funds from the Willow Street corridor, the proposed Willow Street corridor, if it does take place. And I did get some maps here. I'm trying just to update the two new ones here. And, the Willow Street corridor has seen a limited measure of recent development. However, the appropriate planning and significant investment in this area may not reach its full development potential. Ensuring a high level of service along the Willow Street corridor is essential to attracting investment. We may need to look at access management, signage, lane alignment, drainage, pedestrian, walks. This is what the RDC does, and just to enhance the area for development or for investors alike. We're just here to try to increase the value of the property to help lower our tax base. And in a nutshell, that's kind of what I just want to touch base with the two new members, and I'm glad to have you on board, and that's what I was wanting to say to you. Any questions? Also, if it does take place, and I know you'll be voting in the next 2-3 weeks or four or whatever. It's kind of on our thought and on our mind as a whole that our existing TIF on Hart Street could, if we do come up with a plan and see on the Willow Street, that we could funnel the money over to Willow Street to help improve that area. So that's the game plan, but it's in your hands. So I just trying to enlighten you a little bit on the game, the road we're going down.
Have any questions?
One question that comes to mind, you know, our concern of some of us was that while the Redevelopment Commission can pass along those tax monies to the various entities, fire departments, schools, et cetera, that, you know, changes can occur down the road and you can't bind them. So related to that, is it the Development Commission's opinion that you can do the kind of improvements that you're talking about doing in this corridor using the funding you have now versus bonding into the future?
The way, right at the present, the way we're looking into it, and it could change, Willow Street, we can do in segments. It's not going to just take off next week. It's going to be a long process. We might be talking 3 years. This TIF zone, if it does take place, will be a 15-year commitment on our part and your part with that zone. This existing TIF zone ends in approximately 11 and a half years. So I know Vincent School Corporation is kind of worried about the TIF zone, which I understand that completely. But in 11 years' time, we'll be able to that goes back to the tax rolls. So we got a big hit in the arm with this existing. And with the Willow Street, you know, we're talking maybe like storm drains and just getting things prepped for that area. I don't think it's going to be going in there and start tearing out from A to Z. We would not have funding for that. But we like to take some baby steps, prep that area, and enhance the city on that last entrance into the city. We've done a good job at 6th Street. You guys done a good job 6th Street. Hart Street we've done. 2nd Street with VU working hand-in-hand with what we're doing on 2nd. And our tax money on RDC's Eagle Street to out to Main Street will be taken care of. But I think down the road, the Willow Street will be an area that we need to enlighten and look at to invest in. So down the road, it might not be this year, it might be 3 years from now, it might be 4 years from now. I can't give you a time frame, but yes, I think our funding would be in place with that at the present. Can I answer that?
Well,
kind of.
Bonding versus cash flow, I guess that's what I'm talking about. We're talking cash flow projects.
Cash flow projects.
Versus bonding. These projects. And would that be subject to the Main Street project?
Excuse me?
Would that be subject to the Main Street project being moving forward, or is that, it's not, is it an either or is it a both?
I can't say right now on the Main Street project. I know we tried to work with the city county council, and it just didn't, like oil and water just can't get moving out there with that. It'd be nice if we could got some grant money and clean that area up. Main Street project there again, it's not something that we'd have to start and widen out, or if we even do that project at all. I would hope and anticipate that we will with the things that may be happening out there in a very short order. The funding for just put it on the nail head, I can't just right now, I could say yes. 5 years from now, I couldn't answer that. On the financing of it. I would say if we could get the area enhanced and get the tax base built out up there on Willow Street, we'd be all right. But we still have the Main Street part of the existing second part of the TIF for a longer period of time.
But Brad, right now, the Main Street project doesn't have anything to do with Willow Street.
No.
Okay, make that clear.
Two different ball games.
Right.
Yeah, two different ball games. Willow Street, or excuse me, Main Street, with Kmart property selling, there's some things getting ready to happen out there. We're going to have to, I wish that had happened 5 years ago. I knew that was going to happen, sale. But you know, here we are with a two-lane road, narrow ditches on each side. We waited too late already. I'd like to enhance that area. That's what's going to happen to me out here on Willow. So we just got to get our finances in our TIF zones where we can be prepared for what comes down the road.
I know in our ordinance that we've got written up for this that it's got a list of things that could be done out there. As an RDC, do you guys have a plan like in place? Like, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to accomplish. As maybe, you know, here's a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, even a 15-year plan on that. I know this was one of the concerns that, I mean, when you guys came before us before. Whether it's on our part or your part, or there's just been a bad part of communication between the two groups at times, to not see this vision on what wants to go out there. And I'm not trying to say you're trying to sell us something, but explaining what's happening,
the two new
and seeing what could possibly go out there, because that's been one of my biggest concerns. It's like, well, we want this expanded, but what are we expecting from this? What are we going to see from this? What are the plans that are laid in front of us? And that's one of the things I just haven't seen. And I'd like to see. I'd like to see what we're expecting, what we could possibly see, what could be out there.
I don't have that crystal ball, and I wish I did. I'd be a little bit more invested in different areas if I did that. I can't answer that, but I'm just, we need to prepare this city in a forward positive way. And I think with the Willow Street in my heart and with my RDC as unanimous with the Willow Street TIF, it does take place. It's going to be an area with a new hospital putting in millions of dollars, motel. It's an entrance to the city that's very bland, say the least. It does need addressed, and to make a plan right now, I can't say that. We'd have to have surveys, and talk to some engineers and what have you, and property that's available to us also. How we could.
This is my no, no. What, Tim, maybe to try to expand on that a little bit. I'm Beth Meeks. I'm council appointed as well. Tim Smith, that's on our RDC committee as well. And has kind of taken the lead over trying. We'd like to have a 10-year plan, a wish list, so we can try to get a direction trying to get this. I think the mayor and I have been trying to work on this for 2 or 3 years to kind of get a plan for everything. All work together and try to help everything. So I guess to answer your question, we are in the process of working on that. We don't have that together because Tim Smith and I believe Bob Slate is working on that together. Tim will email us. We're all trying to put our list together. We'd like a list maybe from, you know, one of you to be designated. Maybe sit down with us and say, okay, we'd like to see this, and we'd like to see that, and try to put more of a plan together. Does that help to answer?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that was a good way of putting it. That was one of the, just the big, I know when you guys came before us before in early April, that was one of the bigger concerns that I had. It's like, you know, you guys want us to step out and do this, and the question is, like, well, what's going to happen? Like, I know we don't have a crystal ball, but, like, are there certain benchmarks? Are there certain things that we want to hit? Are there certain things that we want to see? And those are things that we haven't discussed. What, you know, and that could be our fault for not reaching out as much, to not get that information. So, I mean, that's one of the big things that, you know, I like to see. And I know I've talked about it, you know, example with roads. Like, I want to see, you know, a plan laid out and things like that. So that we're not just addressing issues when they come up that – we're addressing the problems, and now, all right, what's next? What's next? What's next? So everything just kind of revolves through, so we're always updating, we're always improving, right. We're always making the city better as a whole.
We've been really working well with JP, John Sprague, here to try to help with those things. And that's what we're trying to accomplish, is work together. I rely a lot on Brad. He's our president. I'm the vice. He's been on this for 12 years, and he thinks he can't, but I believe he can, because he'll tell me something, and years later, it come to pass. And that's what we're trying to see, is one of the main arteries that comes into the city. You know, we all have done a good job with 6th Street, Hart Street, especially widening that. I mean, that was huge. The RDC was doing all of that, and I think that you see the growth out there. And that's what we're trying to accomplish with Willow. And we voted on 19th, I believe, to give those monies back. So, again, we're trying to see as a whole. You know, we understand what the school and the library and all of us are going through, and we're trying to work together to see that and see in the future to see if we can help bring more business to that to help everyone. And in doing that, we're still trying to get our list together. It's tough when trying to get all these lists together and you only have so much time and only so much money to be able to do. So we are working on it. When we get those lists, we'll come back or maybe have somebody appoint. I know the mayor's involved in it. I'm sure we'll want JP involved in it as well. So I hope that answers, tries to help answer.
Monopolize the questions. Is it Bales?
Questions?
I have one. If they don't want intervening. One difference between Hart Street and Willow Street was Hart Street was not a state highway. And you know, I voice concerns about that before. This is a state highway. I'll just relate one little experience that I had, because I don't have much experience in development type projects, but several years ago the university thought it'd be a good idea for people coming into Vincennes on Willow Street to be able to find the university. So we went out and on our dime purchased some signs, and they're nice attractive signs, and we put them up on Willow Street, and within 2 days, I got a phone call from the Department of Transportation. Your signs are out here in a heap in the garage because, you know, this is state highway. You just can't put signs up, which indicates that the state highway is very possessive of their highway. I mean, you got to do things their way or, you know,
but
stuff winds up in a heap. So would developing the funding mechanism to do all these things on Willow Street would... I mean, what would you foresee as the impact of the state? Would they just say, well, since you got the funding mechanism to take care of Willow Street, we'll just let you take it? And then they back off? I mean, what would they do? What would be their reaction?
Now, there again, in answer to that, just to be precise, I know they had put blacktop on Willow Street not too awful long ago, and they did update that. That'd be one thing off our checklist for the next 6 or 7 years or longer. Blacktop. There again, I know NDOT, and I've worked out there with several of those guys. And as I-69 is coming down the state of Indiana here, they're wanting to get rid of some roads, streets, and hope not. I hope they keep that Willow Street forever, but I don't think they will. I think they're going to force it upon the city of Vincennes. And if they don't, they don't have to maintain that road the way it is right now. They can let it go to whatever they'd like, as long as it's passable. So there's give and take a little bit there. There's some property out that way that I think we can enhance. If the state of Indiana wants to take it and keep it, so be it. But we still have the property out around to enhance that area for our tax base. Street itself, I think we're 5 years out. Blacktop. That's right. Curbs are looked like curb sidewalks. Sidewalks is us. Herbs, him. But we can do it, and I don't think they would argue the point.
Yeah, I mean, probably the biggest thing that we'd have to deal with out there would be drainage.
Got some areas.
Storm drainage, and that the state's not going to take care of if it's real road or not.
Golden rule, water in the ditch there. Got major situations out there. Entering the sanitary sewer. There's areas out there that needs a drain. Now, fine, don't.
You know, that whole area out there, talk about FIA, Far Best, the whole industrial park there, the old industrial park, you've got that. There's major jobs on Willow Street right now.
Good Samaritan transportation.
Good Samaritan Hospital, and it's not so much the asphalt that concerns me. It's just the decay of the infrastructure that is around it, and if we don't take care of that, we're going to be in 10 years from now, we're going to be sitting here scratching our, we won't be probably, somebody else will be, and say, what do we do now? So
you're older.
I'm older than you, I'm not older than him.
I don't know if that's true or not.
I'm gonna be here like Councilman Clark's dad. You know, I always told his dad, I said, my goal with him was to outdo Strom Thurmond. I said, Pat, you're gonna outdo Strom Thurmond. So, but anyway, that to me, that's my concern. It's not so much the pavement.
Right.
It's just the support area around that road. Yeah, and because you've, like I said, you've got so much movement out there. There's a lot of jobs on Willow right now, and it's an area that we're gonna have to deal with.
I know this. We discussed this earlier as well too. But another thing that makes this thing difficult is what's happened with the business personal property tax and the situation there, where you know things are kind of up in the air with us, where it kind of puts us all in kind of an awkward position. You know, I appreciate that you guys, you know, made that commitment to us, but you know, we got counties around us that are opting out of the business personal property tax. So what happens if we get put in a situation where we do it, and now limited funds, you know, our financial projections are going down, and now they're going to go down more, and then you guys would possibly seeing funds decreased. I mean, it makes this a lot more difficult than just a simple, hey, this is
I mean, we're trying to look.
Right, right.
We do, and trying to work with everybody. If we don't put that money into that area from business, they're going to. And I'm not saying they're not looking at the school, but you know, it's going to help if we get our money. It's not just the pavement, entire drainage, especially.
Well, we have a lot to weigh, pros and cons, and you know, and just to add to what Tim said, the other thing we have to look at is the property tax caps, and certainly we can all appreciate passing along the taxes that under TIF existed before development continue to go to the schools, etc. But I look at the map of the expansion of the TIF, the new TIF, look at the existing TIF, look at what's left, you see that it's what's left that has to carry for the increase in expenses for all the governmental entities, city, school, et cetera. And then it has this impact on the caps that pushes more people to the cap. And, of course, we don't get any more money once they reach the cap, and that's really the crisis that the city's facing. We have to weigh that into it as well as the business personal property tax situation as well. But, I mean, you know,
Have to move forward, too.
And we have to move forward, too, but we can't go belly up while we move forward.
Right.
So there's just a lot to weigh. So that's the reason I had made the recommendation that we discuss it tonight, but keep it tabled at least until our next meeting. And
appreciate you guys listening.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any other questions? Be the time to.
Thank you, Ms. Morris, Ms. Clark.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bo. Along with this subject, I'd like to say that Friday I did receive our levy report. It's 166 pages long, so it's going to take a couple weeks to get through that. And before you make a decision on this, I would like to have the Utility Service Board members here to explain the levy report and how that may play into a part of this new TIF area if it's expanded.
Add to that, as soon as they can analyze that and get it to us in advance of the next meeting, better, I think, okay. So we have time to look at it.
Yeah. Okay, anything else on Ordinance 11? Not, we'll move on to Ordinance 17-2014, $614.64, additional appropriation from EDIT to pay SME. Your Mayor. First reading was on the 9th.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have second reading of Ordinance 17-2014.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring to have second reading of Ordinance 17-2014.
Ordinance 17-2014, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1314.64.
Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, let the record show that we had a public hearing prior to this meeting and no one spoke for or against.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
I walked on your feet. Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Moores?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Bieber?
Yes.
Okay, second reading of Ordinance 17-2014 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mayor, I move we have third reading of Ordinance 17-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring to have third and final reading of Ordinance 17-2014.
Ordinance 17-2014, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1, 2, and 3 for $614.64.
Discussion.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Moores?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salter?
Yes.
Yes.
And third and final reading of Ordinance 17-2014 passes by a vote of 7-0. Moving on to new business. First is Ordinance 18-2014. $5,114.75, additional appropriation from EDIT to pay Lockmuir, formerly BLA, second NIBLA.
Mayor, I move we have first reading of Ordinance 18-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose to have first reading of Ordinance 18-2014.
Ordinance 18-2014, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1, 2, 3, $5,114.75.
Discussion?
Are we any closer to turns heard out there? Hear from.
And it just.
It's shorter than before because we're going to be using state funds.
No. This is second NIBLA.
Still federal?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you still have to jump through all the hoops and it's still going to be the bump on the process.
Okay. But the state dollars comes back to the theme.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Yes.
First reading of ordinance 182014 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is ordinance 192014, $32,925, additional appropriation from Edit to pay HWC Engineering, Riverwalk, NDOT, SEC, NIBLAC, CSX, and KCR Corporation contract.
All right, move we have first reading of ordinance 19, 2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose to have first reading of ordinance 19, 2014.
Ordinance 19, 2014, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1, 2, and 3, $32,925.
Discussion.
Can you explain the Riverwalk design?
That is, that's another grant that we're working on, the Riverwalk along Culbertson that's been.
It's been in the process for
for years.
So now we're going through
now
the
we're
steps
moving to, back. We're just getting it to shovel ready because now we have to wait on the levy work to be completed. That's
right.
Why it's actually been put on hold is so we get through our levy stuff.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that's that.
Any other discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, first reading of ordinance 14 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is resolution 5-2014, $26,875. Additional appropriation from Edit to complete local funds, Indiana Housing Community Development, HUD Development.
Mr. Mayor, move we read and approve resolution 5-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring to read and approve resolution 5-2014.
Resolution 5-2014, resolution of the City of Vincennes Common Council authorizing an additional appropriation Edit local funds to the amount of $26,875, bidding formal parts contained in 1 and 2.
Any discussion?
I think the council members understand, but for the sake of the public, what we're really trying to do here is to cut down the number of public hearings that really don't serve much purpose. The council thoroughly discussed and approved the purpose of these grants over a year ago. So what we're really doing is putting this money into an appropriation so that as the grant proceeds are spent, of course they're thoroughly reviewed, they have to meet all the guidelines of the grant, they have to be legally up to snuff, but they can be spent. They still come to the council for approval in the approval of claims, so we do still have that final step, but really, in the end, it'll save us some money, make the process smoother, and have some legal ads. That's really, hopefully, describing that somewhat accurately. that's my understanding of it. And that also applies to the next resolution we're doing the same way.
Any other discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 5-2014 passes with a vote of 7-0. Next is resolution 6-2014, $123,420.50, additional appropriation from Edit to complete local funds, HUD Block Grant Disaster Recovery Grant through OCRA Levy System Project.
Mayor, I move we read and approve resolution 6-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring to read and approve resolution 6-2014.
Resolution number 6-2014, a resolution of the City of Vincennes Common Council authorizing an additional appropriation from that.
Yeah, right there. here.
Any discussion?
Question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Yes.
And Resolution 6-2014 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is Tree Board Ash Trees.
Good evening. I'm Ryan Lau with the Tree Board and Landscape Commission. I am also a horticulturist and the Director of Operations at Percolon. I'm here to discuss ash borer with you tonight and ash trees here in the city of Vincennes. I don't know if how many of you know what ash borer are. We've got a couple of them. All right. We've got approximately anywhere from 50 to 70 trees in the city of Vincennes between the street and the sidewalks. And we do have some additional trees that are floating in some of the right-of-ways. Ash borer is a continuing project or a continuing insect that's moving closer to us. Currently, it's sitting on the edge of Knox County in Davies County, and there are several spots in Davies County. And as the ash borer move towards us, they start quarantining first townships and then counties, making it impossible to move lumber or material out of that county or out of that township. I've got family up in Allen County and visiting again this weekend. You could drive up that northern portion of the state and see the devastation caused by ash borer, causing all the trees to die. I mean, every single ash tree, unless it's been treated, is going to die. The problem here is that we know that this is coming, and we are just approximately a truckload of firewood away from having a big problem. If you've ever had one of those aha moments where you woke up one morning and said, I wish I would have known last year that I needed to do that, or it would have cost me that. You know, we could have saved so much if we just would have known that. Well, that's why I'm here tonight. As we've talked about it in the tree board, we got to the position where we are now that close. We are to that point where if Davies counties goes into quarantine, we'll probably be the next county. If we wait 2 or 3 years from now to start removing ash trees, once we're under quarantine, the problem lies that it will cost us a lot of funds to get rid of those trees. Because not only do they have to be brought down at certain times of the year, they have to be chopped up to little bits, and they cannot be moved until certain parts of that year. And then once they are moved, they have to be to state designated areas. What I'm suggesting, or I should say the tree board is suggesting, is an increase in funds for the next year in order to remove the trees between the city sidewalks and roadways in preparation for this insect coming. Because again, trying to kind of look at it in the future and try to look at it, you know, a year down the road, you know, as things start quarantining towards us, we don't want to be stuck with a bunch of ash trees that we have to remove and now have to pay four times as much to tear them out. Now, it is part of the tree board. We have our budget, and each year, I personally, at least once a year, if not twice a year, I go through every single tree in Vincennes. I look at every single tree. I identify the tree. I look at its health, its strength. We remove those trees that are either number one, dead, or number two, dangerous to the public, especially around children, you know, around the elementary schools and things like that. We also try to make it as part of our budget to replace some of those trees. As you know, that ash trees are great trees. They are, and they have been, and they've been a staple in Indiana for as long as we can imagine. These trees have been there, and they've been made into baseball bats. They've been made into shovel handles. In fact, in the early 1900s, we even used them as car parts. So, you know, as I look at all of the trees in the city of Vincennes, the ash trees are one of the healthiest trees. We've got all these maples that are dying from the inside out, and we can't hardly get enough of them down. When the ash trees, we don't have a problem with at all. So they're not our top priority, but they have to be our top priority now, because as these quarantines move towards us, it's one of those times where we just need to look at it and say, what do we need to do? So I guess what I want council to consider is basically around $30,000 to remove these 50 to 75 ash trees in advance. Because if we can remove them in advance, we can get them out, we can still use the lumber, it can be processed, because then it becomes more cost effective for us. After that, we're really looking at almost four times the rate, because again, it cannot be moved. Those logs have to be taken down on site, chipped to within a 1 by 1 inch area, and then it can only be moved at certain times of the year. So if you can imagine the city of Vincennes having great big piles of chips that you can't move, that's what we want to try to avoid. Now we can talk about all the fun things about ash borer, what they look like and what they'll do, but I know that for a fact they will cause devastation in the area, and for a fact we know that they're coming, and there's nothing that we can do. We've also recommended, you know, to not only to the Parks and Recreation but to City Cemetery, if they have trees that they want to save, large trees that are very effective, that those trees can be saved effectively. They can be drenched or injected each year for the passing. I know this because I've gone to these places. I've gone to Northern Indiana and I've seen tree lines absolutely devastated. You go right over the next street where they've communities come together to save those trees. They've treated those trees once or twice a year now for the last 4 or 5 years, and those trees are beautiful and they've saved them. So I know that we can't really afford to do that in the city of Vincennes with some of those trees, because there are trees in areas that we might only have 18 inches and the tree itself is already at 20 inches. And what we want to do there is just remove those trees and put something in that's going to be more beneficial in the long run as a tree.
What's your current budget now, ballpark?
Our current budget is $12,500.
$12,500?
And that yes.
Okay. And it's been $12,500 for some time, I think.
Yes, it has. I don't think it's changed in a long time.
And also, what would be the cost per tree to take them down?
Well, each tree, what we did is we approximated the cost about $400 each.
$400?
Yes. Now, we've worked with some of the local people that have ash trees on their property. Some have already, you know, taking those down for us, and then we've gone through and added a new tree here and there. And what we've got is tree prices for removals differ because of power lines, because of sizes, and because of difficulties. So some trees might be 800 and other trees about 200. So that's kind of where we're at.
So pre-quarantine, you would need $30,000 to take care of this problem.
Correct.
Post-quarantine, you'd need $120,000.
Or more, because prices, I can tell you that in Allen County, when you have to remove an ash tree, when they have to do that, it was incredible. It used to be that you could get a tree removed for a couple hundred dollars, and now because if it's an ash tree, we're looking at $1,000, $1,200 in some of those cases. And it was just because of the feasibility of having to chip it up on site and then having to move it, and then, you know, certain people only having the ability to do that.
Now, in your request, you use the term one time. So you're just saying you need this $30,000, this one time, we'll get rid of them, and
that's exactly, that's what we want to do, because then we can continue on with our 12-5 and just continue to keep removing trees and adding trees as we go, because we've done very well. We can't remove all the, there are lots of trees in Vincennes that need removed, but what we do is we remove the ones that are the worst shape again, and they're getting looked at twice a year. I know that some of the citizens might be concerned about quite a few more than that, but we do what we can while also planting some new trees to replace the ones that we're removing.
You have to do stump removal also?
Yes, it's a city ordinance is portion of, if a tree is removed, the stump needs to come with it. So then all of that is filled back in and then reseeded.
So the $30,000 includes the stump,
removals as well.
Okay. Now, the way that this little critter's moving, would this be something we could like split up over a 2-year period, or do you believe this is something that would need to be done this year?
The problem is the quarantining from the state. If Daviess County got quarantined next year and then they found enough material in the Knox County area, let's say the following year, and could we split it up? We might be able to. It's one of those where we run the risk. But I know at this point in the measure, they are so close that, you know, we're talking right on the line. So we're not looking at every ash tree. The county's not everybody's out there going, look at all the ash trees and make sure they're covered. Somewhere in Knox County, I'm sure that there are spots that we haven't got to yet. So what I'm saying is, it would be my recommendation that we take care of it early and just take care of it. Could we spread it out? Yes. But if something were to happen, what we're looking at is the increased portion of that.
Really, if at all possible, you're asking for this appropriation as soon as possible. You're not asking for in this next budget cycle.
We are asking it. We understand that, and we are asking as soon as possible so that we can get a head start on it. I will let you know that we can get more done with that, meaning that if there are trees that are still out there that, let's say, go over the budget, when we cut trees down in the fall and over the winter, generally we receive a discount on those, because that's when it's common for the tree industry to be a little slower, so we can get more for our funds. And that means that for these areas that are in the common ways that Vincennes owns, that I've not walked all of those areas yet, that we can remove those as well, if whatever we can do.
What about outside of the city and the county? What's going on out there? They're out in the county also.
Oh, they are.
So what's going to happen to those?
Well, they will slowly die off completely.
Okay.
There's not much that the city can do out in the
right.
county. I mean, the county, you know, we're encouraging people to, if you've got a large ash tree, to treat a large ash tree. In fact, I go up to Allen County for two purposes. One is to visit family, and the second one is to treat ash trees twice a year for my families, because it's a necessity. So if you've got a large tree and you need it identified, we can help you identify it. And then we can help you, we can teach you how to treat it if you want to do that.
And what's the cost to treat it?
There's two types of methods. There's a drenching method used for trees that are smaller than approximately, let's say, a basketball. And those drenching methods can be anywhere from, they range anywhere from $60 to $100. And then larger trees than that are getting injected. And that usually runs between $10 and $12 per injection site every 4 to 6 inches all the way around the outside of the tree. And what it is an injection for a tree works just like you'd have an injection for you or a shot. They basically wedge in between the xylem and the phloem, and they actually inject the tree, and it goes directly in there so that it goes all the way to the top and all the way to the bottom. And that injection is good for one full year.
And this would be from this day forward, or just for
this would be from this year forward. This year forward for, and you're going to say, well, how long would that be? Generally, until the major wave passes. In Allen County, it's pretty well passed through. We are generally looking at probably anywhere from 2 to 3 years after. That's why the cost of having all the trees, ash trees, injected in Vincennes is just not cost affordable.
Ryan was here like a year ago, or?
I was. A little over a year ago.
You told us that this was coming.
Almost
it's here.
Ago.
I've been reading about other cities mm-hmm. that are doing this, same thing. So.
Absolutely. You know, they've put together additional councils, information, things like that, in order to process and to save those maybe historic trees.
Like a late night science fiction movie, The Invasion.
it is, the little green monsters, and they're just little bitty,
yeah.
Only about the size of a penny.
Now, in an ideal world, these trees are kind of spread out, so as they're removed, we're not going to be left with blighted streets. Or are we talking about, are they all planted in the same area? I don't know.
Well, I've got a list. They attach to every portion of the town. Every portion of the town's got one or two trees from up around Hendren Hills to College to, I don't think there's any on Main, but Second Street, there's portions of them all over.
But we don't have any street that's like mostly solid.
We have a couple of streets that have quite a few. Let's see, it would be 7th Street, has quite a few down in that corridor with right around Rotary Point, starting at Rotary Point, and then going down to, that would be Hart Street. In fact, I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in that grouping alone. And then there are some on College, there are some, and again, what we're planning to do here is those areas that can hold a tree that are appropriate, we would like to put a tree back in. And we're doing that as part of our funds. We're using smaller trees that have already been, you know, useful for the tree department and not causing any issues, you know, lifting of the sidewalks, getting out into roadways and things like that.
Well, because we probably, I don't recall a time we've removed that many trees in a short period of time, assuming we can find the money, perhaps we could appeal to the public clubs and things like that for some donations too to help.
Help plant budget, a tree.
To help plant, yes.
Yes, not absolutely.
Well, it'd be my recommendation that Budget and Finance perhaps work with the mayor and see what can be done and report back to us as soon as you can. I know we tapped a lot of funds for paving, yes. I don't have a lot of money.
I don't know if I want to bog it down in some Budget and Finance Committee hearings. I think we just need to appropriate the money and be done with it and let him do his job. He was here, they were here a year ago.
Well, that's fine. We have to identify the source of the funds.
I'm ready to do something. Like I said, this isn't something that I think we need to move slow on.
I'd hope we could vote at the next meeting, but I'm just saying we have to identify the source of the funds.
Right. Well, if you can identify the source, I think we just need to get on it.
Right. I will have the source identified by next meeting, and if they'll be able to.
Can we vote on it the next meeting? Okay.
If you agree with.
Council can do whatever it wants.
Right.
There's an urgency. We can.
Right.
And I agree. Vote. We need to come up with $30,000 to take care of it before it costs us four times that time. That.
Any other questions that you might have for me?
Well, the only thing I would say is we're just very glad to have a very competent tree board that has expertise can bring this kind of information to us. So we appreciate that. And
yeah, your commitment, my gosh, I mean, you've seen every tree in Vincennes.
Yes.
I mean, that's hard to comprehend, really. I mean, but yes, appreciate
and
that.
If you need to know that my wife can tell you exactly what days I go and visit trees, so.
Okay. My dog has visited every tree in Vincennes, but no expertise there at all.
Thank you, Council. I appreciate it.
Ryan, one more thing. Did you suggest that we try to save the trees, though, in the parks and in the cemetery?
I think there are some of those cemetery trees out there. When I've had the opportunity here lately to walk some of the cemetery areas, and there are some ash trees out there that, boy, I don't know what the removal cost would be to try to get a piece of machinery out there to hoist those large trees out of the middle of. In that occasion, I think it becomes more cost effective to treat a tree for the cemetery than it does in some of those older portions of the park where you just are the older portions of the cemetery where you can't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the parks, as I've walked some of the parks, there are some large, very large ash trees that are very pretty out there that would be really devastating to the park to lose that, but they're going to have to figure out for themselves whether it's going to be a portion of what they want to go ahead and try to treat and have treated each year, or if it's something that they're going to try to transplant and move somewhere else. I know that the local university uses the parks as a portion of teaching their students how to identify trees. I know that I'm also with the Boy Scouts, and I take my Boy Scouts out to Gregg Park and to some of the other parks here, and we go through and we look at the trees, we identify the trees, and I teach the boys how to do that. And I appreciate the trees.
So your tree count doesn't count the ash trees that are in the cemetery or the park?
That's correct.
But you've identified them.
Yes.
So you could share that information with those departments.
What it would take is basically, I mean, I don't have a full count on those. I've been through there. I've seen most of them, but I don't have the city where I've got a full count on those. So,
but you could advise them.
Absolutely, would be happy to work with both of those in basically looking at the tree, determining the size and the cost effectiveness of either treating or removing.
Okay.
And I would be happy to do so.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
act expeditiously. Ready for plan?
Okay, we're ready. I've been praying for this.
Whatever that.
Yep.
Ready for the claim?
I will have something back next meeting. Next is claims.
Mayor, I move we approve claims totaling $446,924.39.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Rhodes to pay the claims in the amount of $446,924.39.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rhodes?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And the claims are paid by a vote of 7. We want to miscellaneous, clerk treasurer, the closeout process for the SIDC, City of Vincennes River Road Wastewater System Improvement Project. Total grant was $472,735.08. Grant amount in $222,463.56. Final local amount.
What I'm looking for is here just like the council does the final approval, since this grant was more than what we actually spent, and our portion would be more than what we, I mean, would be less. I'm sorry. the grant came in under what we had allocated for it, in other words. So what I need is a motion for the final approval on this SIDC grant for the 472,735.08 and the other number, which is the city's portion of 222,463.56. And that is just for housekeeping for the grant. It's a government grant, and so I don't want us to have missed one of the previous numbers by not maybe getting it approved, which I don't think we have. I just want to say that this is acceptable to the council, which it should be, for those final approval numbers, since they were under the amount of the grant. Just looking for a motion so I can put it in the minute that it was approved by council and we moved on.
I'll make a motion for approval of the 472,735.08 for the grant amount and the 222,463.56 for the final local amount.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Brown, second by Councilman Sebring. You need a vote or?
Yes, sir.
All for the question, then.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rhodes?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yeah.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Move on to item B.
Well, Ben is coming up. This is just a housekeeping matter, but on resolution 5, 2014, and 6, 2014, I did not mention, for the sake of the record, that we'd had a public hearing and there was no one to speak for again. So just include that in the minutes. Now, we have Ben Roger
okay.
with us to make a presentation.
I'm going to pass up something which should be included in the packet, but just to make it easier.
Thank you.
I plan to do is introduce a topic that will probably be discussed more later. It involves circuit breaker credit reallocation. Now, as a refresher, you're probably asking, what's a circuit breaker credit? Well, that represents tax that the taxpayer does not pay because of the 1%, 2%, 3% rate caps. What happens procedurally is that the amount of property tax that would have been collected if there were no rate caps is compared versus the amount that's actually going to be collectible. And that difference amount is actually refunded to taxpayers in something called a circuit breaker credit. Some people call it a rate cap credit. They're the same thing. What happens is this is represents property tax revenue that the city does not receive. In front of you, you can see the amount that each city fund is not expected to receive initially for 2014. Now, if you go to the initial circuit breaker amount, you'll see the general fund number equals $1,573,381.76. Now, what happens is when we set the budget and rate each year, the state, unfortunately, does not tell us how much revenue we're going to lose because of these rate cap credits. And so we have to almost estimate the amount of lost revenue for property tax rate cap credits each year. A lot of that's based on what happens the previous year. Well, 2014 was a little bit different because property value overall for the city dropped by 13%. And when that property value decreased, that ended up increasing the tax rate. And as a result, the city lost approximately $800,000 more in property tax revenue in 2014 versus 2013. Well, unfortunately, we didn't have that information with us when the 2014 budget rates and levies were set. And the result is the fire fund budget. There was not enough property tax levy allocated to the fund. So one way that you can correct that is actually is to complete an additional appropriation, which has been done previously, where money was taken from the general fund to fund the fire fund budget. But new this year, the state's allowing units to go ahead and reallocate the lost revenue from circuit breaker credits among city funds. And what the council has the option to do is go ahead and rather doing an additional appropriation to make up that fire fund budget, we would go ahead and if you go to the fire fund, it's fund 111 fire. The initial amount of circuit breaker credits for that fund is $657,515.44. Now the state set at the minimum amount that of circuit breaker credits must be allocated to the fund, which is $741,444. And what one suggestion would be to restore the fire fund budget is to go ahead and shift some of the $657,515 of circuit breaker credits away from the fire fund to another city fund, such as the general fund. The reason why the general fund is, I propose that, is because whenever the city's budget set, typically most of the residual cash is left for the general fund. Another way we could go about this if we want to go ahead and shift the circuit breaker credits is look into the city budget to see how we're spending money for as far as 2014 goes. For instance, with the Parks and Recreation Fund, that budget was set, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, based on the idea that the pool would be up and running initially. Well, because the pool's not open yet, spending in that fund is likely going to be less than it's budgeted. So we could shift some of those circuit breaker credits away from the fire fund to the Parks and Recreation Fund. That's another option. And I guess approximately $300,000 of circuit breaker credits would be recommended to be shifted away from the fire fund to another fund to make up this deficit.
How much?
Close to $300,000. So what you would do is, I guess, if one option would be is to reduce the fire fund from 657 to 515.44 to down to 357, and then you would have to go ahead and increase the circuit breaker credits from, like, let's say the general fund, you would make that $1,873,000. And the one of the restrictions the state has put in place is that if you go to page 2, the initial circuit breaker amount is initially $2,381,326.13. And the final approved amount just needs to be that the same amount, that same $2,381,326. But the city has the option to determine which funds to allocate those rate caps to.
So if that was the option the council wanted to pursue, this ordinance or resolution, whatever we would need, could be drawn up and presented to us at a future meeting, and we could go ahead and do that and then prevent having to do an additional appropriation to the fire department.
That's correct, yes. And the deadline would be is by July 15th, which would be by your next council meeting.
And that's why you're here tonight, so that the council could get their questions answered tonight, so you wouldn't be surprised by anything on the 14th when we have to make a decision to approve whatever.
By switching any of these circuit breakers, would that have any effect tax-wise on any of the citizens in the city?
No, it would not. Because the restriction would be is initial circuit breaker credits have to equal the ending amount, so just, yeah.
Just so everyone understands, we do it. We would have to approve this at our next order to meet that state deadline. Now is the time to get your questions answered or have it discussed further. And while you're maybe thinking of questions, I will just say that for the sake of the news media, Ben has agreed to stay behind a little longer after the meeting and answer news media questions. If you want to go into more detail, so appreciate that. Else while we have been here.
Anything else, sir?
Well, I was looking. Anybody else? Any other questions, Ben? If not, then I would ask that you work, I guess, with city clerk, city attorney to draw up that paperwork so we can have that ready for our next meeting. And I guess if members have any questions in the interim, maybe we can.
Yeah, you can contact David or contact myself too. I know it can be a little bit of a complicated subject. So,
since we're really not, since this is not, I don't regard this as a spending of money, I don't think it would require an ordinance form according to our council rules. I think it could be done by resolution. I just mentioned that because that would prevent us from suspending the rules at the next meeting to adopt it. So could we agree that it be a resolution that we could adopt in one vote at the next meeting?
I'm okay with that.
That's the reason we were having Ben here, to get these questions answered and give the public notice, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay, that would make a simpler process is all I'm suggesting. So, okay, have it drawn up in resolution form and through the clerk's office, and we'll have it as part of our next agenda. Thank you very much.
One question, Ben.
Yeah.
With the, I noticed here we are a week from a deadline again. I'm not saying that's you or who that is, but, last year when we did the, when we attempted to do excess levy appeals and, things like that, we were 1 week away from the deadline. Do we have anything like that coming up that we can be planning for now?
There are potential appeals later with the budget, but the deadlines for those are December 30th.
Okay.
So
can we get those sooner?
Yes.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, and we just learned about this. The memo with the DLGF issued was June 5th, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
Nothing else, just in the motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We are adjourned.